We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Vav, Paragraph Chaf Gimel. V'zeh Bechinas Purim. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on this chapter in Likutei Moran that we're working with, Torah Ayin Beis in the second half of Likutei Moran, and based on everything we've learned so far, we're going to understand new insights regarding the holiday of Purim. Shehu lehachnia ulahapil es homon horosh yemach shemoi. Purim is all about trying to bring about the downfall of homon. Ki homon bechinas geus. Homon symbolizes arrogance. Ki hayom izgoe mo'oid. Homon was very arrogant. We saw that he was perfectly comfortable with everybody bowing down to him. And even that wasn't enough. The fact that everybody, with the exception of one person, was willing to bow down to him, that wasn't enough. He was prepared to risk everything he had just to make sure that this other person also bows down to him, that Mordechai HaTzadik will bow down to him. That's how great his gaiva was. V'rotzo shehakoil yichru v'yishtachvuloi. He wanted everyone to bow down to him, no exceptions. And for this reason, he was so filled with anger and hate towards Mordechai, who refused to bow down. And because of this, Haman actually made himself into an idol. Because arrogance is idol worship. The Torah uses the same term about both, toyeva. Toyeva is one of the worst words that you can have in Judaism. Toyeva means disgusting, despicable, and that's the term that's used in the Torah about Avodah Zarah. When it says, do not bring an idol into your home, it uses the word toyeva. And when the Torah speaks about arrogance, it also uses the word toyeva, toyavas Hashem kol gvalev. V'alkein oso atzmai avodah zara, ki geus hu avodah zara. V'alkein bikesh lahashmid laharoig uliabed. And for this reason, Haman wanted to destroy completely the Jewish people. Lahashmid means to kill, to bring about the death of the Jewish people. Ki ikar sitra demoiso nimshach mi geus. Because as we learned earlier, death is associated with gaiva. Anova is life, as we spoke at length earlier. Ki ikar sitra demoisa nimshach mi geus shehi bechinas chet odom rishon shaydeze nigzar misal hoilam. As we had learned earlier, that death was brought into the world through gaiva, through the fact that the snake tempted Adam and Chava. You want to be great? Eat from this tree. You want to be great like Hashem, who can create and everything? Eat from this tree. So they're seeking this kavod is what resulted in death. So death is an inyan of gaiva. Humility is referred to as life, as we saw before. Umishom nimshach klipas homon yemach shemoi. And it's from the Eitz Hadas that Homon draws his spiritual power. Kamoi Shom Razal, as the Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lametes, Homon min atoyra minayin. Where do we see Homon mentioned in the Chumash? Shenemar hamin ho'eitz. When Hashem said to Adam and Chava, did you eat from that tree that I told you not to? Hamin ho'eitz. Is it from the tree that I told you not to eat that you ate? And the word hamin is spelled exactly the same as the word homon. So we see that homon's connection is the Eitz Hadas. That's where he draws his energy. And the Eitz Hadas is gaiva. V'alkein ikar hizgabrusoi hoyo alidei shenenu misuda shaloise rosho. And this is why the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis, that one of the main reasons why the Jews fell under the control of Haman was because we participated in the meal that Achashverosh gave at the time. Ki pegam hu achilo hu pegam hageus. Because as we learned earlier, eating improperly is associated with gaiva, shehu bechinas moisrois upsoilas kanal, which is associated with excesses and waste manner. If you recall when we spoke earlier about the concept of being careful when you're not to be wearing tefillin when any gases are being emitted from the person's body, we explain that those gases imply a pegam and achil in a sense. The person ate something that didn't agree with them too much, or they ate too much, and that's what resulted. It's that pegam and achila that results in those noises and the gases which represent gaiva. It's called neficha, bloated, blown up, that kind of thing. And we spoke also, we mentioned the pasuk pentoichal v'savoto, that watch out, hishamar lecha, you're going to eat, you're going to get full, v'rom levavecha, you're going to get arrogant, v'shochachto es Hashem alekech, and you're going to forget Hashem. So we see that pegam achila is associated with gaiva. So when the Torah tells us that the Jews participated in the Suda of Achashverosh, that was pegam achila, that was gaiva. Vizehu, and this is why another opinion there in the Gemara says, al shehishtachavu letzelem, that the reason why we were so vulnerable to Haman was because we bowed to an idol at the time. Shehu avodizora, shu gam ken bechinas geiz kanal. That's also gaiva. We see that the whole threat of destruction at the time of Purim was all based on gaiva, whether the gaiva was eating from the suda of Achashverosh, pegam achila, whether the gaiva was bowing to an avodah zorah, which is gaiva. Vizeu shomrazal, this is why the Gemara says over there in Megillah daf tezvov, bebovel nichshelu benoshim nochriyos, that and also when the Jews were in Golos Bovel at the time, they fell into associating with non-Jewish women. Hainu pegam abris. That's an example of pegam abris. Ki yevsher lizkois lanova mitius kim al yidei shemamshich malatzmoi prishus ukedushas abris hanimshach mi prishus ukedushas moishe kamashikos v'shamayin shom. Because as we explained earlier, Rabbeinu Zal shows there in Likutei Moran, Torah and Beis, that it's impossible for a person to be zeichet to real humility unless they conquer this item of tikkun abris, shmiras abris. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be so exceptional in his humility because he was also so solid in his shmiras abris, in his precious. He was the one who even separated from his own wife, not just separated from other women. The Iker Koyach Homon Hoyo Shohoyo Mizera Agag. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain a little deeper. Homon represents Gaiva. Where did this start from? Where does this originate from? We know that Homon is a descendant of Agag, who was the king of Amalek, Shehechyo Shol Ki Chomalolov, whom Shol Hamelech kept alive. Shalomelch allowed him to live because he had pity on him. When Hashem commanded Shaul HaMelech via Shmuel HaNavi, wipe out Amalek, men, women, children, animals, don't leave any trace behind whatsoever, Shaul HaMelech ended up having Rachmonis on Agag and allowing him to live one night. And that one night that he was in prison, he found a way to have relations. And from that relations came forth Haman, who represented such an incredible threat to Klal Yisrael. Kiboze pogam Shaul ba'anova psula. Because when Shaul HaMelech allowed Agag to live, this was a terrible, terrible mistake of a false modesty, an improper kind of humility. Shebitel esatzmoi neged atzas doyeg, Shaul HaMelech, who was given his kingdom by Hashem. Hashem appointed him as king. Shmuel HaNovi, the tzaddik hador, appointed him as king. Doeg Hoadomi, who was one of the Sanhedrin, who was in a position of power at the time, but Shaul HaMelech had no right to listen to him. He got his instructions from Shmuel HaNovi, from Hashem. He was told, wipe out everything. And Shaul HaMelech displayed humility. He humbled himself to put himself under the guidance of Doeg Hoadomi, who was a super Russia, who convinced him not to kill Agag. V'loy hisgaber esatzmoy kegibor chayil lekayim divrei Shmuel. And Shaul HaMelech didn't stand up tall, strong, to fulfill the instructions of Shmuel HaNavi. Remember, we had explained earlier when we spoke about humility, that humility is not a contradiction to Azus Dikdusha. These two go together. That a person can be humble. The Shulchan Aruch begins with the words Yizgaber Ko'ari, that Judaism is not for kids. Judaism is for lions. You want to be Jewish? You want to observe the mitzvahs? You better be tough. That's what it says on page one. Yizgaber Ko'ari Lamoy Baboiker Az Kanomer Gibor Kari Rotz Katzvi. And the same Shulchan Aruch says right over there that as much as you have to have this toughness, be careful not to use it when it's not necessary, not to use it against anybody else. Even if someone is making fun of you, even if somebody is making fun of you personally, not to attack them. Somebody makes fun of Hashem, there you're required to stand up. So Shaul HaMelech was poigame in the fact that he was not a gibor chayil to do the job, get the job done. Uboze pogam ba'anova. And through this, Shaul HaMelech committed a crime in the area of humility. Dehainu shehoyeloi anova psula. He had a misplaced humility. When he wasn't supposed to be, he showed humility when he wasn't supposed to. Ki pigam anova psula hu bechinas pigam hageyus. Because this kind of a false humility or a misplaced humility is the greatest level of arrogance. Eze chutzpah. Shmuel HaNavi told him to do. Hashem said, "Do this," and he's listening to some shmegegi. So what? He's a Sanhedrin. So what? Compared to Shmuel HaNavi, who was a Navi, who was speaking Dvar Hashem, doyeg we see throughout, was a Rasha. He misled. He led Shaul into all kinds of trouble. Ki ikaro hu anovo liskois lanovo shel Moshe. Because true humility is to be zeichet to the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, shehi bechinas chayim nitzchim, which we said is eternal life. Bechinas hachius shel kol hoevorim. That's the spiritual energy that feeds every single organ of the body. We mentioned that Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran quotes the pasuk where it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as mechoykek. And Mechoykek is Bigematria 248, corresponding to the 248 organs of the body of every single Jew, and which has in it wires leading to Moshe Rabbeinu, where every single one of us receives from Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we receive? His most important quality, his most important attribute that's koilel everything. The Gemara says, Anova gedoyla mikulam. Anova is everything. So the whole greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is in his humility, which each and every one of us is plugged into. Each and every one of us has the ability to draw that. Ki kishayesh loy anova psula noisein koyach lahageyus. Because when a person has the wrong kind of anova, that ends up feeding the gaiva. Me'achar shemevat latzmoi neged habalei gaiva horoitzim laharchikoi meidarkei emes umeitzadikei emes. Because again, when a person, Rav Nosson Zal is giving another example here, when a person is trying to come close to Hashem or trying to come close to a true tzaddik, and somebody opposes him, who's the somebody? Could be a rabbi, could be a mother-in-law, could be this, could be a daughter, a son, could be a parent. When these people show opposition and the person humbles himself to them, the person says, well, I don't want to go against my mother-in-law. I don't want to go against this one. So I'm not gonna try to come close to the tzaddik. Rav Nosson Zal says here that he's feeding the gaiva. He's feeding the other side, chas v'shalom, who are trying to pull him away from the true, from the derech emes, from tzaddik emes. K'moy Shaul shebitel atzmoy neged das doyeg, like Shaul HaMelech, who submitted himself to the opinion, to the guidance of doyeg ha'doymi, lavoir al divrei Shmuel HaNavi, thereby going against Shmuel HaNavi. Now, there are people who think that in doing, well, I don't want to step on this one's toes, but they don't know that if you don't come close to Hashem, or you don't come close to the tzaddik, then you're stepping on their toes. If a person has the opportunity to come close to Hashem, if a person makes a connection to a tzaddik, and he sees that this tzaddik has the ability to bring him closer to Hashem than 100 other rabbis put together. And then suddenly the Satan turns up the heat. The Satan starts giving him opposition from this one, that one, and the prison, and he sees that people are getting offended. What do you mean? You're not coming. Let's say he was going to a different rabbi's class at one time, and he stops going, and the rabbi says, "Where are you? We miss you." And the person now feels bad. I don't want to insult him now, so maybe I'll stop going to the tzaddik. And the person doesn't realize you don't want to insult him, but now you could be insulting the tzaddik. Once you taste it, once you made a connection, if you walk away, it's not a joke. It's a serious, serious offense. It could be a serious offense, chas v'shalom. As in the case of Shaul HaMelech, because a person is always making choices. It's not a question, I'm going to do this, and it's not going to affect that. It's either or. It's either you're feeding the kedusha, it's either you're feeding the anova, or you're feeding the gaiva, chas v'shalom. It's either you're feeding the right side, or the, but what do you mean? He's also a rabbi. He's also religious. It's true, definitely true, but we know that there are big differences. So, K'moy Shaul, who was mevatel himself to the guidance of Agag, going against Shmuel Navi, v'hechyes Agag, and he allowed Agag to remain alive, shemimenu yotza homon, from whom came forth Haman, Shehu Bechinas Geus, who is the epitome of Gaiva. Vizeh Sheomar Shmuel L'Shaul Kishoi. And now Rav Nosson says, look at the words. Look at exactly what Shmuel Hanavi said when he reprimanded Shaul HaMelech Al Shehechya Es Agag, for leaving Agag alive. What were the words of Shmuel Hanavi? Haloyim Koton Ator B'Einecha Roish Shifte Yisrael Ata. If you're small in your own eyes, if you look at yourself like you're a nobody or nothing, and therefore you felt compelled to listen to your elders, to what Doyeg Hadomi said, you're very, very wrong. Roish Shifte Yisrael Ata. You are a king. You're a leader of Klal Yisrael. You had no right. You had no right to listen to Doyeg Hadomi. Hainu, Shehoichichoi, Shmuel Hanavi reprimanded him, Vomarle, and said to him, Sheikar hapegam sheloi, bo al yidei anova psula. What was your mistake? Kotonato b'einecha. Person would say, what do you mean? Isn't that what a Jew's supposed to be? A Jew's supposed to be small. Doesn't it say every way is supposed to be small? The answer is, it's qualified. You have to know when to be small. On page 1, line 1, it says, Yizgaber koari. A lion ain't no little guy. A lion's very big and very tough. So we see that everything has its time and place. That Shaul Hanavi showed smallness, humility, in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's one incident. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, now take a look. This was, Shaul HaMelech had a problem with this from the beginning. V'chein b'tchilas malchusoi pogam bozeh. We find when Shaul HaMelech first took on the kingdom, he also made a mistake regarding this specific issue. K'may Shekosev, as it says in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 10, Vayivazuhu, the people insulted him. The people were screaming, we want a king, we need a king, which in itself was a problem. But fine, Hashem gave in to them. Shmuel Hanavi agreed. Okay, you're going to have a king. This is the king. So already the king was designated, Shaul HaMelech. What happens? The Navi says there, Vayivasuhu, they displayed tremendous disrespect to him. They didn't bring a gift. Person's appointed a king. You bring a present. No gift. Vayhi kemachrish. And Shaul HaMelech was quiet. He didn't say anything. He didn't reprimand them. We know the Gemara says, Melech shemochal al kvoidoi, ein kvoidoi mochul. There's different levels of honor and respect in Judaism. There's honor of a parent, kibud avoim, which is one of the Ten Commandments. It's very, very big. And yet the Torah says, Av shemochal al kvoidoi, kvoidoi mochol, that a father can forego his kvoid. A father can say to a son, I don't want you to stand up for me. I don't want you to serve me. A father can say that. A rabbi, a rabbi, even higher than a father in many ways. And here the Torah says, Rav Shemochal al Kvoidoi, Kvoidoi Mochal. A rabbi has the authority to say, don't stand up, I don't want you to do this. A rabbi comes to the Seder night of Pesach. The basic halach is that if a person is sitting in front of his Rebbe, he is not supposed to lean. Why? Because you're sitting in front of your Rebbe. You don't slouch in front of your Rebbe. In front of your Rebbe, you sit with pachad. You're sitting in front of Hashem. But the halacha says, if the rabbi says in the beginning of the Seder, I give permission to everybody to lean, then you're supposed to lean. So that's a parent, a rabbi. When it comes to a king, it's a different story completely. There the Gemara says, Melech Shemochal al Kvoidoi, Ein Kvoidoi Mochul. That when it comes to a king, he cannot forego his kavod. He can't play small. So here, the fact that they didn't bring a gift to Shaul HaMelech when he was appointed king, the Navi says they insulted him, Vahi Kamachrish, he was silent, that was a mistake. The Gemara says in Yuma that this, because of this, his kingdom could not be permanent, because he displayed a lack of backbone, in a sense, when he needed it. Now we understand why Mordechai HaTzadik made such an issue out of not bowing down to Haman. Everybody else is bowing. He could have made believe. He could have dropped his thing and he could have played all kinds of games. Mordechai wanted to make it perfectly clear to Haman and to everybody that he's not bowing. Why? Ki Mordechai hoyo onov bishleimus. Mordechai HaTzadik was the real Anova. And he was a descendant of Shaul HaMelech. Mordechai ben Kish Ish Yemini, Shevet Binyamin, same address as Shaul HaMelech. He was the tikkun, he was going to correct, I don't know if Rav Nosson Zal is going to say it here, but in other places in the Likutei Luchos, Rav Nosson Zal shows that he was the tikkun of Shaul HaMelech. Ki afal pi shohoyo bebechinas ayin, be'enei atzmoi, because even though Mordechai HaTzadik considered himself nothing to himself, as far as for himself, afal pikein lo yirotzo lachnias atzmoi neged habali gaiva shem b'chinas homon. He refused to bow down, to make himself small, to the bali gaiva, like homon. V'zeh shomar Mordechai she'ein ha'roitzo l'shtach v'yisla homon, machma shegam zekeinoi binyomin lo yishtach v'leisov. And this is why Mordechai HaTzadik said that he refuses to bow to Haman, because my great-great-grandpa also didn't bow. He didn't bow. Binyamin did not bow to Esav. Ki Isa, because it's brought in Sforim HaKadoshim, Sheyakov Avinu, Afal Pi Shenohag Bechochma Gedoilo Neged Esav, even though Yaakov Avinu conducted himself with incredible chachma of kedusha in dealing with Esav, afal pikein shogo ktsas bozer. Despite that, Yaakov Avinu made a tiny, tiny error b'mashe hishtachav el Esav, in the fact that he actually bowed to Esav. Ve'ikar hapigam hoyo binyan anal. And what was so terrible about that? Be'inyan pigam anova psula. This concept of a false modesty, showing modesty to arrogant people, to people who go against Hashem. Now listen to these words carefully. Ki yesh be'inyan ze mishkal godoil vedak ma'oid. Because this issue is very, very delicate. Extremely delicate. Shetzrichen liyois onov ma'oid. That a Jew has to be extremely humble, lihiyos bebechinas mo va'ayin mamish, to be nothing, zero, mamish zero. Rabbeinu Zalman Likut Imran speaks about tefillah, and he speaks about different levels of tefillah, and he says, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, when it speaks about the laws of Shmon Esrei, it says, till now you were davening, it was very important to have kavanah, from the first line, from karbonis. But when you're coming to Shmon Esrei, now it's a different story totally. And the Shulchan Aruch says you should know that the old day rabbis, when it came to Shmoneh Esrei, they would unplug the body totally. They would disengage. Hispashtus hagashmius. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They would totally disengage from the body so that if you tapped him on, if you stepped on his foot, he wouldn't know because he wasn't there. The neshama and the body disengaged. The body was left downstairs. The neshama went upstairs to a higher place to daven Shmoneh Esrei. And when he was davening Shmoneh Esrei, it was only Hashem and him. Nothing else existed. That's a pretty high level, right? Rabbi Nazal says that's step one. Then we go higher than that. Then we go to the next step. The next step is where it's not Hashem and me. The next step is where it's Hashem only, where the person negates himself to such a point that even though he's speaking, he's saying Shmoneh Esrei, he's saying the words, he's not there. Not the body. The neshama is not there. It's just part of Hashem. It is no longer an entity. It's not that there's Hashem in my neshama. My neshama becomes so one with Hashem. I negate myself. I negate the ani to such a point that it's not ani vahu. It's not me and Hashem. It's only Hashem. It's Hashem speaking to Hashem. The Gemara uses the terminology shchina medaberes mitoir groinai. It's Hashem speaking from my throat. So I'm told that's bitul, super bitul. So here Rav Nosson Zal says that even though a Jew is supposed to try to achieve more, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, v'nachnu more, we're nothing. Who are you fighting with? We're nothing. And ayin, v'yafal pikein, yihye gibor chayil, v'chozak ma'oid, neged kol horishoyim v'hamoinim. Despite that, the person has to be strong and tough to stand up to the Rishoim and to the obstacles. He's got to be Sayeret. He's got to be commando, not afraid of anything. Go through a wall when it comes to taking on when the enemy is attacking, Chas v'Shalom. V'alkein David zocho lemelucha achar Shol. And it's for this reason that when Shol HaMelech lost the kingdom, who took over? Dovid HaMelech. Ki zocho la'anova b'shleimus. Because Dovid HaMelech was zocho to perfect the anova. Ki hoyo idani ho'etzni. Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk, there's a pasuk that describes Dovid HaMelech as idani ho'etzni. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? Idani means like a marshmallow. You can fold it everywhere, you can squish it and squeeze every which way you want. Ho'etzni means like an oak tree. That Dovid HaMelech had both qualities. When he was learning Torah, he was like a caterpillar. No backbone. He was like nothing. He to the ground. He sat on the ground and mamish nothing. When he went out to do battle, watch out. There wasn't a big enough army. There wasn't anything big enough. To Goliath stood up with all of his armor. He said to him, you shmigegi. You talking again? Who you think you are? You're talking against Hashem? And Goliath looks at this kid coming out towards him, and he's insulted. Couldn't have been any worse insult. And he's standing there with his armor from head to toe, everything. And Dovid HaMelech goes with his slingshot and right between the eyes. The Gemara says when Dovid HaMelech was learning Torah, he would tie himself up in like a worm. Like a worm that has no spine, no backbone at all. But when he was doing battle, whether it was against a physical enemy or against the Yetzirah, against the Sitra Achra, he was an oak tree. He was a locomotive. Hainu Azus Digdusha Va'anova, the combination of holy Azus, having the brazenness and toughness when it's necessary, combined with perfect humility. Sheze ikar hashlemus. That's perfection. That's a real Jew. That's a real Jewish leader. Now listen to this chiddush. V'alkein nikra purim. Now let's talk about the name of this holiday. This holiday, of all the strange names to give this yontif, it's called Purim. Al shem hapur shehu agorol. Because of a lottery that Haman made to try to figure out which month is the best month to kill the Jews in. Out of all the things to pick, This is the focus, that the holiday is called Purim. What is that? Watch how he explains this now. The Issa, it's brought in the Zohar HaKodesh and the Sifrei Kabbalah, Shepurim Bebechinas Yom Kippurim. That Purim has a lot in common with Yom Kippur, which in the Torah is called Yom Kippur, Kippurim. That Yom Kippur is like Purim. It's not as holy as Purim. It comes close. What's the connection? Ki Homon Rotzo Livgoim Bahagoyrol Shel Yom Kippurim. Homon wanted to try to mess up the lottery that the Kohen Gadol would use on Yom Kippur. She'oz nichnasa Kohen Gadol lifnai v'lifnim. That was when the Kohen Gadol would go into the inner the holiest, the holy of holies. She'shom ikar habitul. That's where a person could achieve the highest level of nullification to Hashem. That was the holiest, holiest place on earth, where all Gashmias becomes nullified. The Gemara says it was a place of zero space. If you work out the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with the Oroin, with the Kruvim and everything, there was zero space in there. It was such a level of holiness, it was Lamalam and Amokim. That was the highest place of Bitul. V'alkein huzhar, and that's why the Kohen Gadol was warned, v'chol odom lo yihye ba'oyel moyed, that no person is allowed to enter into the oyel moyed. The Zohar HaKodesh says that includes the Kohen Gadol, that when he went into there, he had to be nothing. If he was something, he was dead. Unless he had to be able to negate it, because the pasuk says v'chol odom. Nobody is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. So in order for the Kohen Gadol to enter, he had to be a perfect nobody at that time. Total beetle. Ki nichnas l'nekuda so Evan Shasiyah, because he was entering into the place of the Evan Shasiyah from where the world was originally created. Shehu b'chinas sela yishkoin v'yisloinen. Kamo Yisham Razal. As the Gemara says, referring to the Evan Shasiyah, Sheze Bechinas Anova Hanal, Kimavura Batoiranal. That implies humility. That Hashem created the world something from nothing. Yesh Me'ayin. That ayin, that Evan Shasiyah, is the closest thing to that ayin, to that nothingness. As we find Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Moran and Torah Ayin Beis, makes reference to this pasuk, Sela Yishkoin V'Yisloinen. Avla Kohen Gadol lo yohayo yochoy lichnois lishom kiim al yedei hagoyrol shenosan al shnei hasirim. However, before the Kohen Gadol was able to enter into the Holy of Holies, he had to do a special procedure first. He had to take two goats, two seirim, that looked identical. They had to look exactly the same, and he had to draw lots to figure out one of them was going to be the holiest of the holiest of the holy, the So'ir Lashem, which the blood was going to be sprinkled in the Holy of Holies, Goyrol Echod Lashem, the Goyrol Echod La'azazel. One was going to be Mamish Kodesh Kodoshim, Kodshi Kodoshim, and the other one was going to be the So'ir La'azazel, that all the sins of the entire Jewish people of the whole year was all going to be dumped on that second one, and it was going to be shipped off, not in the Beis Hamikdash. It was going to be walked to a mountain, Azazel, and no shechita, no kiddu, just pushed off the mountain and cut to ribbons, torn to pieces on the way down, in order to nullify all the sins of Klal Yisrael. And this procedure had to be done before the Kohen Gadol could enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's brought that the word Azazel is the Rosh Tevois, Ze leumat ze osa elokim. That Hashem makes the Kiddusha and the Tumah parallel. Exact equal opposite forces, that they're made to seem almost identical. Like these two goats, same height, same color, looked exactly alike. One is Lashem, the other one is Lazozel. Ki b'yom Kippurim tzrichim l'tshuva. Because on Yom Kippur, we need the highest level of tshuva, shayideze zoichim lechaim nitzchim, through which a person is zoiched to eternal life, shehim b'chinas anofakana, which is synonymous with humility, as we spoke at length earlier. The pasuk says, v'shuvu v'chyu, You will return and you will live. Vaideze nischaprim kol huavoinois, shehim bechinas geus, sitra demoisa. And through tshuva, through anova, a person gets all their sins erased through humility. Where do we see it? With the sins which are a display of gaiva, death. As the Gemara points out in Rosh Hashanah, page 17, the oiver al pesha l'sheiris. Hashem is willing to forego pesha. Pesha is the worst kind of sin. Pesha, there's mezid, where a person does something intentionally. Then there's worse than that, where a person does something spitefully. Hashem doesn't want me to do this? Watch, I'm going to do it anyway, chas v'shalom. That's pesha. So the Pasuk says, v'oiver al pesha, Hashem is willing to forego pesha, l'she'eris. On behalf of she'eris, the Gemara says, l'mi she'meisim atzmoi kishirayim. On behalf of a person who considers himself like leftovers, like nothing. If a person humbles himself, Hashem is willing to forgive his worst sins. Or, as we've learned in other places, the tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is meisim atzmoi kishirayim, on his behalf, Hashem was willing to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Egel Hazor, for the worst sins. Vo'evar al pesha l'sheiris. V'alkein ho'yetzorech ha'koin godol lifnois lifnai v'lifnim. For this reason, the Koin Godol had to go to the inner sanctum. Sheshom ikar habitul. What happens when you go? When a person came into the Beis HaMikdash, what did he feel? He felt tiny. Then when he went further into the Beis HaMikdash, what did he feel? He felt tinier. And when the Koin Godol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he felt tiniest. He felt the tiniest, as small as a person could. He felt the presence of Hashem so well that that was the only thing that filled the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was the presence of Hashem. There was nothing else there, nobody. V'chol odom lo yiyeh bo el moed. Avol kisheroitzin lisko islanova, but, there's a but. But when a person wants to be zoche to anova, tzrichen li zoher me anova psula, there's a problem. Person wants to be humble, the Yetzer Hara says, great, I think it's a great idea. Look at this. He opens his suitcase and he flicks the thing. Anova, here we go, right here. Takes out the book. I wrote the book myself. He says, you want to be humble? Sure, I'll show you who to be humble to. To the people who try to push you away from Hashem, away from the tzaddikim. Of course you have to listen to what people say. Which people? The ones that are pushing you away from Hashem. Them you have to listen to, of course. So when it comes to anova, a person has to be very careful to avoid the anova psula. Dehainu shelo yiyeh otzel v'roya mazel. Not to be a shlamazel, Rabbein Azal says over there. Anova does not mean being a schlepper, being a guy who walks bent over. And anova, person could be walking tall and strong, but inside he knows he's nobody. That all of his strength comes from Hashem. I myself, I'm nothing. I'm a yid. I'm in Hashem's army. So of course I don't walk like a schlepper. I walk tall and strong, but I know that the strength is not my strength. The strength comes from Hashem. The success is Hashem's success. Anything we do, anything positive, is from Hashem. But rather, rak yeloi azus digdusha b'mokim shetzrichim azus. The person has to have the holy toughness where it's appropriate, when it's needed. Ach yesh boze mishkal godol kanal. However, we said this is the most delicate thing. This is so dangerous to know when the azus is an azus of kedusha and when the azus is an azus of the sitra achra. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says over there in the beginning, because this is so delicate, watch it. Even when people are making fun of you, don't hit back. Because sometimes when you hit back, it starts off defending Hashem, but then you end up defending yourself. The eye gets involved there, and it's scary. So a person has to be very, very careful with it. And the Gemara says, "Az ponim legehenim." The same Gemara that writes, "Loi nitna Torah lebnei Israel elam mipnei she'azenhein." The Gemara says, the only reason Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people is because we have azus. And there are two interpretations. One interpretation is that the Yid needed the Torah more than anybody else. Why? Because we have more chutzpah than anybody else. So we need something to control us. We need something to push us down. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that the only reason why Hashem gave the Torah to us is because we had the azus, we had the guts to say, Torah, where do I sign? Not like the other schleppers, schlemazels. The Torah, what does it say? First, let me hear what it says. I don't know what it says. Do I know what it says? Do I know? Can I commit myself? Like many people will say other times. When a tzaddik asks somebody to do something, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't. All those I don't knows when it's inappropriate. We see that when the Jews stood at when Hashem offered the Torah, what was the response? Nase venishma. What is that? That's Azus Digdusha. Hash, I'm in. What do you mean you're in? You don't even know what? First, I'm in. You'll tell me later what I have to do. That takes guts. That takes Azus. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Ach yesh boze mishkal godol. However, this is very delicate. V'alkein tzrichin lehispalel harbe l'Hashem yisborach. Therefore, a person has to invest a lot of tefillah, a lot of hispoidus, shehu berachamov yoireyu ho'emes lamitoi, that Hashem, with his great kindness, will show me what the real truth is, to show me, to give me clarity, to know when the azus is appropriate, when the humility is appropriate, when to be gentle, when to give in to my wife, when not to give in to my wife, when to give in to my kids, when not to, when to give in to my rabbi, all the different things to know when, yes, there's a time. With Rabbeinu Zal said that the most important thing is Rosh Hashanah, and he spoke so much about it. And one of his greatest students, who was so great, a Talmud Chacham, Reb Aaron Zal, the Rav of the city of Breslov, who Rabbi Nachman said that he used Zchus Avos twice in his life. Two times in his whole life that he used the Zchus of his grandparents. One was to save his own life one time when he was in Eretz Yisrael. The other time was to bring Reb Aaron to be the Rav of the city of Breslov, to be able to have a kosher Rav. And he spoke very, very highly about him many times. And this great Rav had a test, an incredible test. We can talk about it because we're after the fact. We get to see, we're seeing the results. But he didn't see the results. And he was the rabbi of the city of Breslov, and people had tremendous respect for him. And yet they knew that he was a student of Rabbi Nachman. Well, at one point, Rabbi Nachman moved. 5 months before he passed away, Rabbi Nachman moved out of Breslov. He moved to Uman. And the final Rosh Hashanah of his life was not going to be in Breslov, was going to be in the city of Uman. And now Rabbi Aaron Zal had a problem. While Rabbi Nachman was living in Breslov, he would spend part of Rosh Hashanah with the city. He had an obligation as Rav of the city. Part of the Rosh Hashanah, the Shir and everything else, he was with Rabbi Nachman. But now there was a problem because, again, in those days, it wasn't like today, where in 90 minutes you're from Uman to Breslov. I was just there a few days ago, so we know. 90 minutes by car, but you're there. But in those days, it was 90 hours maybe, you know, to it was horse and buggy. So Reb Aaron Zal traveled to Uman before Rosh Hashanah to do what any good student would do, to consult with his rabbi and ask him, what do I do? What do I do about Rosh Hashanah? The people in the city obviously are not willing to let me go. They want me to be there. And I want to be with you because you've made it so clear how important Rosh Hashanah is. See, he comes to Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Nachman is so thrilled to see him and everything. And Rabbi Nachman's holding on by a thread to his life. He coughed up on Rosh Hashanah itself. Rabbi Nosson Zal writes there was a huge basin of blood in the room that Rabbi Nosson Zal had coughed up. He had tuberculosis. He was suffering from tuberculosis for 3 years, and this was the end of a 3-year battle. And this was mamish, the last minutes, the last hours of his life. And Reb Aaron Zal comes and says, Rebbe, what do I do? I want to be with you for Rosh Hashanah, of course. So Reb Nachman says, of course, there's nothing more important than Rosh Hashanah. He says, but the people are saying that I have an obligation as Rav of the city. Reb Nachman said, they're right, 100%. You're Rav of the city. You are obligated, 100%. But I want to be here. Yes, you have to be here. But they're insisting I should be there. They're right. This went back and forth until Rabbi Nachman told him, you have to go back. You have to go back. Nice to see you. Have a good geben shtior. Everything good. Have a nice life. And he left. And he left. And he starts heading back to the city of Breslov. And who does he meet on the way but his two close friends, Rab Nosson Zal and Rab Naftali Zal, the two closest students of Rabbi Nachman. And they say, where's your compass? You're going the wrong way, man. And he says, no. I was there and I spoke to the Rebbe. And he told me that I want to be there just like you. But he told me I have to go back. Rab Nosson Zal looked at him. This was Reb Aaron Zal, who was a goyin oilam, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous tzaddik. Rabbeinu Zal said about him, Reb Aaron Zal, that he went to his wedding with a clean shirt, meaning, like Yaakov Avinu said, that he had not had any problem in Pegam HaBris before his wedding. Rabbi Nachman said that about this Reb Aaron Zal, that he was pure. Rab Nosson Zal said to him, if the Rebbe would drive me away with metal rods, if he'd be swinging a metal rod, I wouldn't leave for Rosh Hashanah. Now what happens? The Rebbe said, go back. The student says, now what do you do? Reb Aaron Zal went back home to Breslov. And this is documented in the Breslov heritage that he lost out. This was a mistake. Because Rabbeinu Zal himself said, number one, that there are certain questions that you can't ask. You're not supposed to ask. Sometimes you have to know not to ask, because if you ask and there's an element of risk involved, there's an element of mesiras nefesh, a tzaddik cannot tell you to show mesiras nefesh. That's something that you have to want yourself. If a person wants something enough and it involves sacrifice, that's a decision the person has to make. The tzaddik. And at the same time, you're dealing with delicate issues here, dealing with insulting a tzibur. So what do you mean I can't ask? I have to ask. I'm not smart enough. How do I know when to ask and when not to ask? This is why Rav Nosson Zal writes here that this is one of the areas where a Jew who's serious has to invest a lot of tefillah, begging Hashem for clarity. Show me, to be able to know when the Azus is Kiddusha, when it's the Sitra Achra. When to have this toughness that even if the rabbi says go, Rabbeinu Zal said that this is one of the cases where a person is not supposed to listen. That if the rabbi said go back, what should he have done? He should have stayed. And there are stories about Rav Nosson Zal. When he came, there was one story, a year or two before that, when Rabbi Nachman was away from his house. He was in Zaslav, in a distant city, when this tuberculosis started. And he sent a letter to the students saying, nobody should come for Shavuos, everybody stay home. Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Naftali Zal conferred, and they said, we're going. And they went, and they got in touch with others. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, I don't remember if it was that time or other times, that he was careful. He showed up at a certain time in the city, but he wouldn't go to Rabbeinu Zal until it was late enough that he couldn't send them back. He made sure not to see him. And then Rabbeinu Zal said to him, Rabbeinu Zal said with a smile, it wasn't that time Shavuos, it was another time when he came and it was a mesiras nefesh to come. And he made sure not to show up until the last minute. And Rabbeinu Zal smiled and he said, I hear that there's some heat about you coming here. You know that if I would have seen you, I would have told you to go back home. Rabbeinu Zal said, yeah, that's why you didn't see me. That's why I waited to show up, you know. Meaning that he knew by him there was such a drive and such a sincerity that there's an incredible peace that we're going to come to in Likutei Halachos. There's one place in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal quotes a few lines from the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh says, Kad Atbaya, when a person wants, these are the words, when a person wants, he doesn't need a rabbi, he doesn't need the rotzain, his rotzain alone will lead him. That'll be his light. That'll be his lantern. That when a person's desire is really sincere on the highest level of sincerity, his rotzain will lead him, will show him when to run, when to walk, when to retreat, when to jump over walls, when to ignore everything. Now, again, obviously, this is a delicate point because there are a lot of people who have done a lot of damage, who have made a lot of mistakes with this Azus Digdusha. That's why Rav Nosson Zal writes here that a person has to invest a lot of tefillah, that Hashem should guide me, Hashem should show me the emes la'amitoi, the real truth. What do you mean? There's a fake truth? What's emes la'amitoi? This is a term that's used in the Gemara. Rav Nosson Zal didn't invent this. A person would say that's double talk. What is that? That's chassidus? You know, chassidus, emes la'amitoi. What's wrong with emes? And the Gemara says that there's emes, there are different levels of truth. What Rabbeinu Zal told Rabbi Aaron Zal was the truth. He told him the truth, that you're a rov of the city, you have an obligation, you have to go back. But there was a higher level of emes that said that this is the last chance, this is the last Rosh Hashanah ever, and the Torah that Rabbeinu Zal said that year and everything was something unbelievable, you know, that nobody would have wanted to miss out and everything. And if he wouldn't be there, there would have been somebody else. There are cases we have today in our times. This is 150 years later. There's a rabbi, a close friend of mine, who I went to high school with, who's a rabbi of a shul in the Syrian community. And if anybody knows the Syrians, they know that the Syrians are very big on family. Nobody, you never leave your family for yontif. That is like a real no-no. So number one, you never leave your family. And if you're a rabbi of a shul, everybody knows that the obligation to a shul is nothing more important than Rosh Hashanah. A rabbi who's not there for Rosh Hashanah, ha, ha, ha. This rabbi put into his contract when he first took the position that he's prepared to do everything and anything he can to serve the shul to the best of his ability, except one day a year he's absent. And the people agree to it. And Bali Ayin Hara has been doing it for 15 years or 20 years. And the shul Kanayin Hara survives. And he is in Oman every year for Rosh Hashanah. I'm saying we see that it is possible. Here's a case where we see it's possible. A person would say, it's impossible. A person would hear about it. A person would say, go tell a shul that you're going to be there except for, no shul will ever take it. Right? Wrong. Right? Wrong. We see here that if a person has the right rotzayim and the right guidance, it's possible to overcome the greatest obstacles you could ever, ever, ever imagine. You know, it is possible to overcome those obstacles and to get incredible things. So he says a person has to beg Hashem, show me the emeser emes, show me the real truth. Ukemavura bahatoyra hanal, as Rabbeinu Zal says this over there in Torah Ayin Beis and Likutei Moran, that this is one of the important topics in tefillah, to beg Hashem, guide me, give me clarity, show me, to be able to differentiate between right and wrong, between azus digdusha and what's the wrong kind of azus. Vezeh bechinas hagoyrol, and this is the secret behind that lottery that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. What kind of business is this? The Jews are an intelligent people. They had nothing better to do on Yom Kippur than flip a coin. We're going to flip a coin to see which soyer goes Lashem. What do you mean which? You don't know which one should be for Hashem and which one is Lazozel? V'zeh b'chinas ha-goyrol shehoyetzorich lahatil al shnei ha-se'irei izim. This is the goyrol that they placed on these two goats, Shehem Shnei Mine Azus. Aiz is a goat, Aiz is Miloshin Azus. This refers to these two types of Azus. Azus Digdusha, there's a holy Azus, Ho'oilo Lashem, which is an oilo, it's one, the highest, the holiest, holiest, holy. Bechinas goyrol echod Lashem, as the Pasuk says. The Azus the Sitrachra. And there's the exact opposite of that, this Azus of the Sitrachra, Shehu Bechinas Geus, which is Gaiva, Avoidezora, Shemishom Kol Ho Avoinois. That's the root of all sins. All sin began from Gaiva, the Gaiva that Adam Arishan and Chava had of listening to the snake. Shetzrichen Letordoi Ulagorshoi Lazozil, where you have to take that one and throw him. Send them to the right place. Send them downstairs. Send them to Azazel. Bechinas v'goyrol echot l'azazel. The other goyrol goes to Azazel. Why do we do it through a goyrol? Listen to these words now. Ki efsher lechavein nekudas emes bozeh. It is impossible for a person using his own intellect to figure this out, to know this, when you're dealing with such fine points of the emes versus the emes lamitoi, kiim al yedei goyrol. The only way to do it is through goyrol, shehu me'es Hashem. What is a goyrol? Hashem will make the choice. I can't choose. I'm not qualified to be able to know which is right. Therefore, I'm leaving it up to Hashem. I'm going to put it in Hashem's hands. Hashem is going to make this choice. And we say this, this is one of the important sentences that we say in the Tikkun HaKloli. Many people don't realize it. In the first chapter of the Tikkun HaKloli, Michtam LeDavid, chapter 16, there's three words that we say there, where David HaMelech says, Ato Toimich Goyroli. Hashem, you choose my goyrol for me. I'm a human being. A human being has to make thousands of decisions every day. Every single day we make right turn, left turn. Hit the brake, don't hit the... There's mamish, every second we're making life-determining decisions for ourselves, for our wives, children, everybody around us. You're qualified? You know? You know what to do? And even when we're talking about doing a mitzvah, even if we're talking about the emes, we're talking about going to shul. What is there to know about going to shul? What's the big? You go to a shul, everybody knows that. Which shul? There's two shuls. Which shul should I go to? There's two minions. There's the early minion, the late minion. Do I sit over here? There's a billion decisions to make. You want to take it on yourself? We say, Ato toimich goyroli. Hashem, please, you choose for me. Help me make the right choices. Whenever a decision needs to be made, I'm not going to close my eyes. Of course, I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to learn and learn more. But after all the learning, I know that the Yetzirah is more learned than me. He got up an hour before me because he got up to make sure that, to convince me to stay in bed. So he's up earlier. He's learning more, and he's a couple of thousand years older. So the only way, I'm not going to trust my own intellect. I'm going to supplement it and complement it with a lot of tefillah, begging Hashem for guidance. Every Ato toimich goyroli, hoireini Hashem darkecha. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, Ato toimich goyroli. You, Hashem, choose my goyrol for me. Ki rak Hashem yisborach tzorech liyois be'ezroi, lechavein bozeh nekudas ho'emes lamitoi. Because only Hashem can really help a person to choose when it comes to choosing the emes lamitoi, to be able to know within the truth even what's the real truth. We have the famous story. We know that today, the fact that anybody on this earth knows about Rabbi Nachman is credited to one individual, pretty much, Rav Nosson Zal. Rabbi Nachman said about him, were it not for him, there wouldn't be a page, a blettel shamus of my Sforim. Proof is, we do not have any Sforim from Reb Aaron's, from the other Talmidim. They loved Rabbi Nachman, they respected him tremendously, they did a lot to be close to him, but they weren't Rav Nosson. They didn't write down every word. They didn't go over them to have him look over the notes and edit it. They didn't kill themselves. They didn't go through the nuclear war that he went through with his wife and his father-in-law and his everything to get to where he got to. So this Rav Nosson Zal, at one point in his career, shortly after he met Rabbi Nachman, his father-in-law was one of the greatest rabbis in Russia at the time, Reb David Tzvi Auerbach, very, very well-known, tremendous tzaddik. And his father-in-law chose him as his son-in-law when he was 13 years old because he saw who this kid was. He saw his potential, and he was grooming him to take over his position, to take over that position of leading Dayan in that whole area in Russia. And Rav Nosson Zal figured that's a nice career, to be a Dayan, could spend most of the day learning, a couple hours a day that you have to help, you have to sit on the bezin and, you know, decide shilas and everything. What could be better? What better way to be a real Yid? So he came to Rabbeinu Zal one time, and he said to discuss this serious decision in life, career opportunity. And he says to Rabbeinu Zal that I'm being offered this position, you know, to be. So Rabbeinu Zal said, Nishkosher. In Yiddish, Nishkosher means good, good. Rav Nosson Zal heard good, and it wasn't what he was looking for. That's not what I want to hear on my decision. My whole life is going to revolve around. He waited for another opportunity. Figured he's going to try a different angle and ask the question another way. He wants to make sure he's getting the right answer here. He asked the question again and again. Rabbeinu Zal said, Nishkosha, yeah, sounds good. Then he went back a third time, and the third time he said to Rabbeinu Zal, I need to know the emes remes. I need to know the real truth. Is this what I should be doing? Is this the best thing? Rabbeinu Zal said to me, you want to know the emes remes? Leave that. That's not for you. There's other people that are going to be... You have a different mission in life. You have a different mission. Thanks to the fact that he asked the third time, that he was looking for the truth with such sincerity that even that person would say, now what's going on? Rabbi Nachman was going to mislead him? The answer is, yes, of course. The Gemara says, "Bederech shodom roitzeh leilech meilich noisei." Whatever path a person wants to go on, they lead him. The choice is yours. You have to make the choice. The rabbi can't make the choice for you. You have to choose, what do you want? Do you want MS? Do you want MS Lamita? What do you want? To the degree that a person is really, really looking for the truth, they're not going to be fooled even by their own rabbi. Because the rabbi, the Gemara says this, that Hashem gives bechira, and people ask this to Rabbeinu Zal, that can't the tzaddik take away a person's bechira? Can't he do that? And his answer was, of course. But there's a famous quote in the Gemara, Dayoi le'eved liyois karaboi, that the servant doesn't try to outdo his master. If Hashem doesn't take away a person's bechira, so then the tzaddik also usually does not take away a person's bechira. He still has to leave it up to the person, to the degree that the person is really sincere in knowing what they're looking for, that they want the real deal. I want the real, not just real. To the degree that a person is sincere, that's going to lead them. That rutzon will lead them to the right answers. You know, and this is how delicate it is. There's so many people who say, I asked the shaila. I went to a tzaddik and I told him, and he gave me a bracha. So obviously obviously I'm doing the right thing, right? And the answer is, many people aren't educated. They don't know. I remember one of the first things I learned from Rav Rosenfeld, and then I heard it, I saw it live again shortly after Rav Rosenfeld passed away. I had to ask a shayla about a certain kind of wine, using a certain wine in America. This is 40 years ago. And Rav Rosenfeld always taught his students that when you go to ask a rabbi a shayla, ask him, am I allowed to do this? The rabbi says, yes. Okay, I got my answer. The guy walks out. The person doesn't know that's one level of asking. The next question is, would you do this? Rabbi, would you do this? Is this wine kosher? Yes. Would you drink it? No, definitely not. And I remember having this case with Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, Zichron Avrocha. After Rav Rosenfeld passed away, there was a certain kind of wine. And I asked him, is this wine okay? He said, yes, sure. And I said, would you use it? No. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, we're so lucky that we were taught, we were trained to, you have to know how to ask a shayla. Comes to asking a shayla, there's all that. And again, a lot of it is, what are you looking for? Depends what you're looking for. The Torah is multiple choice. You can choose what level you want. There are people who kosher sins, who get actual sin. They go to a rabbi and they get the rabbi to say it's okay because of how they worded the question. And the person doesn't realize that it's not. So now it's on the rabbi. It's not on the rabbi's head. It's on my head. If I played a game, he played along with me. He's allowed to, the Gemara says, a rabbi is allowed to use trickery when he's dealing with a trickster. Person wants to be funny, we'll play the game, no problem. To the degree that the person is really sincere, there the tzaddik has to give him what he needs. Ukemavur bahatoyra hanal, as is brought, Rav Nosson says, as we find in chapter 72 in the Kutuman, that this is based on, she'omar Rabbeinu Zal, she'tzrichim Rak levakesh mi Hashem Yisborach lisko islanov amitiyus ayin shom. That Rabbeinu Zal said there, how are you going to figure this out? How are you going to know what's real humility and what's phony humility? The only way you can really hope to get it right is a lot of tefillah, begging Hashem. Number one, regarding myself, that I shouldn't fool myself when it comes to how I conduct my own life. And number two, when I look at another person, people look at somebody, wow, he's a big tzaddik. What do you mean? Look at him. Look how he's walks like that, humble. And you can see it, right? Can't you see what a big tzaddik is? And lahavdil, there are people look at the Archbishop of Shmagogi land, and they see him walking with his long black robes and his beard, and mamish, he's a malach, he's a heavenly malach. Then we find out afterwards that he was molesting 350 kids, and this malach elokim, this humble person with the long black, not he doesn't wear the three quarter, he wears the four quarter coat, all the way, the robes go all the way down to the floor, and he was busy molesting. So where's the humility? The answer is, we're in an olam hasheker. We are in a place that's full of sheker. The fact that something seems to be, that doesn't prove that it is yet. V'zeh shom razal, and this is why the Gemara says in Yuma, page 62, shnei se'irei yom kippur shovim b'koymosam, that these two goats had to be identical. They had to be the same height, same color, same mamish, that you couldn't tell them apart. Hainu, sheshnei minei azus hanal, shnehem nirim kishovin bechol habechinois. These two azus, the azus of the sitra achra and the azus of kedusha, look identical sometimes. Achzel Hashem v'zel azozel. This one is the highest kedusha, and the other one is the exact opposite. Kizeh kavanosei bazusoi Hashem. This one's intention in his azus is only Hashem, nothing personal whatsoever. V'zeh lehepech, and the other one is the exact opposite. He's only concerned about himself. Even if on the outside he makes it seem like he's doing this for Hashem, we spoke about Korach before. Korach, you read his speech. His speech, he says clearly, he's in it for Hashem. Ki kol hoedah kulam kedah, he's in it for the people. But we see that the reality was that was baloney. He was really only for himself. V'tzorech levakesh harbe me'Hashem yisporach, a person has to beg Hashem a lot, sheyizakeyu lechavein ho'emes bozer, that Hashem should guide me to know the truth, to really, really know the truth and feel the truth regarding this. Shezeo b'chinas goyro, that's the concept of drawing lots, shehu me'es Hashem levad. That shows that I'm putting it completely in Hashem's hands. I'm showing that I can't choose. I can't pick. Ubezois yovoi aharoin halakodesh. And the Torah says this was the prelude, this was the prerequisite to the Kohen Gadol entering into the Holy of Holies. Ki oz zocho lovoi lefnai velefnim. Because then on Yom Kippur he was zocho to go into the inner sanctum. Sheshom ikra bitul. That's where you have the highest level of nullification to Hashem. Me'achar shezocho la'anova b'shlemus. Once he was zocho to this high level of humility, shehu ikra chayim, which is the real life, spiritual life. Ki nitzoil me'anova psula, because the Kohen Gadol saved himself from the wrong kind of anova through that goyrol. That goyrol was separating the good from the bad, the kosher from the treif, the lashem from the lazozel, this A's versus that. Now we know exactly which is which, and I'm going with this one. The Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodoshim with the soyer lashem, with the Holy One. V'homon yemach shemoi, shehu b'chinas geyus, whereas Haman, who is the symbol of arrogance, rotzo lifkoim bozeh ha-goyrol. This is what he was challenging when he made his goyrol. He said, the Jews have a goyrol on Yom Kippur? I got a goyrol too. We're going to draw lots also. The Kedusha has power. The Sitra Achra has power also. The Zohar Kodesh speaks about the fact that by the Tikkuni Zohar writes clearly that towards the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, there were Jews who were so learned, they were on such a level, they knew the Shem HaMafoirosh, they knew how to be able to engage angels in heaven, the angels that were over the Mazolos and over the stars, they knew how to make contact with them and how to draw power from them to be able to do their bidding, to make things happen, to make miracles happen and all of that. this was a form of Avodah Zarah. So at one place, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon asks his father, "What are you telling me that they, that Hashem let these people know the shame I'm afraid?" He said, "Yes, most definitely. It's called Bechira. It's called free choice. That Hashem, just like Hashem, he gives the example, just like Hashem allows a person to be Mechal Shabbos, just like Hashem allows a person to commit sins with women, he allowed these people to have access to spiritual powers and to use it to destroy themselves. To destroy themselves and others, Rahman al-Islam. V'alkein hipil pur hu agoyrol, and this is why Haman made this pur, which the Megillah says was this goyrol, v'al shem ze nikra purim al shem hapur. And that's how this holiday gets its name, Purim. That's what's so important about this word Purim, because Purim tells us what Purim's really all about, that it was gaiva versus anova, and it was not just gaiva versus anova, it was anova digdusha versus anova psula. It was shol hamelech versus Mordechai HaTzadik. Shol was a tzadik. The Gemara says, ben shona b'molchoi, that Shol HaMelech, when he passed away, was pure like a baby in its first year. Shol HaMelech was a tzadik. Rabbi Nazal says that there are people who say that a tzadik can't make a mistake, and if he makes a mistake, he's no longer a tzadik. And Rabbi Nazal said, I say that a tzadik can make a mistake, and if a tzaddik makes a mistake, the tzaddik is a tzaddik, and the mistake is a mistake. Here was an example where the Torah lists him as a great, great tzaddik, and yet in this item it was a mistake. This issue of anova psula, and look how far it went. This created the monster, Haman. This put the whole Klal Yisrael in jeopardy, because Shol HaMelech was a little bit not tough. He wasn't tough enough to tell Doeg Hadomi, go fly kite. You're a big rabbi. You're a rabbi. He was a rabbi. You're a rabbi. I understand. I asked my rabbi. Shmuel Anovi said differently. So have a nice day. Ki zochu lahachnia ulahapil es Haman. Because the Jews were zeche to defeat Haman, to bring about the downfall of Haman. Ulahamshich kidushas Yom HaKippurim. And to draw upon themselves the holiness of Yom Kippur. Shehi goyrol digdusha, which is the holy lottery, shaydeze zeichen la'anova amitis, through which a person zeichet to real humility. Veze bechinas mashetzrichen lehis'anois b'yom kippur. Now, by the way, Rav Nosson says, now you know why, by the way, one of the most important laws of Yom Kippur is that we fast on Yom Kippur. No eating. Why? Lehachnia pegam hageyus, because it's the tikkun. Remember, how did Purim happen? They ate. When a person eats what they're not supposed to, they participate in the Suda of Achashverosh. What was Achashverosh's Suda? Behar oisoi es oisher kevoit malchusoi. Achashverosh was not showing how big Hashem was. He was showing how big he was. Look how great and mighty I am. Look at wealth. And he, the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem is doing my bidding. He brought out the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. That's what he was using for the smorgasbord. So who's in charge, Hashem or me? Achashverosh made it perfectly clear who's in charge, right? That's gaiva. And the tikkun is on Yom Kippur, we fix that by not eating, by abstaining from eating. And because of the fact that on Yom Kippur, we have to try to atone for all sins which come from gaiva. We said all sins, the shoirish of all sins is gaiva, ki kulam nimshoch michet adam rishon, because it all started from the eitz hadas, shepegam shaloi hoya de achila, which was achila, eating, sheochal meitz hadas, adam ate from the eitz hadas. Al kein tzrichin lehisano yispim ha-kippurim, therefore we fast on Yom Kippur, lesaken zois, to fix this, velizkois letachlis ho'anova v'abitul, and to achieve the highest level of humility possible, how? Al yedei ha-kohen gadol shenichnas lefnai v'lefnim l'nekudas avon shesira. When the kohen gadol went into the inner sanctum, and he nullified himself totally, he was mashpia to all of Klal Yisrael, that anova dikdusha, which is the tikkun for all the sins. Sorry that we went over time a little.